Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Pretty Morning, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are throughout this beautiful land of ours. Welcome to Inside Finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you today. Have a lot to talk to you about, and without a shadow of a doubt, it's very, very unique today. I'm talking to BNTF unit today, and with me in the studio is Mr. Bhagwan Isaac, Project Manager, and Miss Lindona Glasgow, Community Liaison Officer. And as you know, Mr. Bhagwan has been in BNTF in and out. He's the project manager there. So we're talking and trying to look for a couple of things that they are doing within BNTF, and we have them explain that. We take a word from our sponsors, we come right back, and we continue here on Inside Finance.
The St. George's Baptist Church, in collaboration with St. Mark's Food Fest Ambassadors, invites everyone to our 40th anniversary welcome celebration and local food festival on Friday, 6th November. Join us at the Botanical Gardens from 4 p.m. and savor some of our local dishes, such as tanya log, stewed manicou, stewed rabbit, crayfish waters, fried cuckoo, potato pone, and much more. Come enjoy a soothing evening of cultural activities featuring the Comanchero Steel Orchestra, Grenada Mass Choir, Touch of Grace, Conception Dancers, For the Love of Music, Jefferson Ramirez, and much more. Remember the date, Friday, 6th November, 4 p.m. at the Botanical Gardens, the St. George's Baptist Church, celebrating 40 years of serving and empowering. Sponsored by St. George's Baptist Church and Allen Associates and Country Cold Store. A celebration to last
through. Welcome back to Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. Good day to Mr. Bhagwan and Ms. Glasgow.
Good day to you.
How are you doing?
We're fine. It's a beautiful day, so we're indeed happy to be here this morning.
Okay, so you are both working within BNTF, and Mr. Bhagwan, you have been there for how long now?
Well, I've been in and out in the program. I've had a first stint 2004 to 2009. And recently, as in 2013, I was brought back into the program until currently. So probably, you know, 6-7 years thereabout into the program.
Okay, that's quite a time to be within a program within government. And you have been doing a good job at it, I must say. Now, for many persons who are listening today, explain to us, what is BNTF and what is its mandate? And if you could talk to us in that about the many things that relates to, that we can have a clearer understanding of it than with the projects that you do.
All right, thank you very much. The Basic Needs Trust Fund, the acronym is BNTF, Basic Needs Trust Fund. It is a poverty reduction program funded by the Caribbean Development Bank and the government of Grenada. And this program started way back when, since 1979. So we're 30 plus years into the program. The program, of course, runs in cycles, cycles of approximately 5 years. But you do have cycles that overlap, or you do have cycles that may be shorter than the five-year period. In fact, we are currently into the BNTF 7th and 8th program. The BNTF 7th cycle was approved in 2012 and it would end in 2016, next year, December 2016. And you also have the BNTF 8, which have been approved this year and would also terminate in 2016. So this is unique because the two programs are running simultaneously and with a similar terminal disbursement date. So this is where we are in terms of the project cycle. In terms of its mandate, as I've mentioned before, BNTF is a poverty reduction program. It is one of the many programs that government have set up to address issues of poverty. Of course, you have other agencies like MAREP and others that are involved in poverty program. But we specifically work with community-based organization. We also interface with NGOs. We interface with government ministries to bring social infrastructure, social development, and training to the beneficiaries of the program. The program have changed focus over time. The current two cycles, we have three focus areas. One is education and human resource development. The other area is community access, road and drainage. And the third is sanitation and water. So out of that, the projects would emanate out of that. So what would happen is that based on the grant agreement that is signed with the Caribbean Development Bank and the government of Grenada, what we do is that we draw our focus from the national poverty assessment that was done. And we ourselves in BNTF would also, we have developed what is referred to as a poverty reduction action plan. And that plan would point where the pockets of poverty are within the country. And this is how we would work because the program is poverty related. So you may find that we may have a predominant focus probably in St. Patrick's and St. Mark's because of the very said facts. So some MPs or some people are of the opinion that, well, I ain't get nothing from BNTF or, you know, we're working predominantly in one area. Right. That is exactly the case. Because of the nature of the program, we have to work with poor communities. As I've mentioned, the programs are, you know, they have been predominantly infrastructure. So we work with health-related program, education-related program, you know, community road, water, and the various entities that are involved in that kind of collaborative manner with the various program. What is unique with the current program that we're executing is that we're moving into the area of capacity development, skills training, and that falls in under the education and human resource development. The reality is that if you have to transform, you know, people out of poverty, yes, it is important to focus or have some focus on physical infrastructure, but you really have to build capacities. And of course, Linda and I would speak more in depth about the skills training that we've been rolling out. But suffice it to say that in the three areas, like water and sanitation, an allocation of $823,300 have been allocated for there. In the case of education, human resource development, $7.6 million. And in the case of access and drainage, $756,143. So out of these areas, we have quite a number of projects. And later on, I would give a sense as to where we are with these projects because we have to understand that it is a process. You know, we have to engage communities. When ministries make a request, we have to make sure that it falls within the criteria. Mm. And we have to do quite a number of assessment before it gets to the oversight entity, which is like your board, to give the initial approval, then, of course, cabinet, and then approval by the Caribbean Development Bank. So,
right. But I just need to go back. I want to talk about that before I speak to Lindona. Try to talk to us about the projects. I kind of want to deal with the projects. Explain to us, because there are many persons mm-hmm. who are listening and saying, okay, fine. I want to understand how these projects work mm-hmm. and what are the projects you have going on now.
Okay. But with regards to the project, let me take it in the categories and in which they come.
Right.
Like, for instance, in the area of sanitation and water, we'll do refer to the sector portfolio. So all we involve in the area of sanitation and water. So we consult with the Ministry of Health, NAWASA, and any other such entity. You do have community-based organization that has issues of water. And so when we engage the community, a request comes in from either the MP or a community group or somebody that says, look, they think there is a need there. And that is the point of entry for us. So we first of all have to make sure that the project that they identify, it fits within the criteria. And then we now have to go in and do a series of assessment, like a needs assessment, gender assessment, environmental assessment, institutional assessment. So we need to do all these sorts of assessment and then to develop the project to come to that point. As it relates to the specific project, like for instance, underwater and sanitation, we have the Davi Fisherman Locker and Toilet Facility. Davi is a wonderful beach, a wonderful area,
an unspoiled beach. Area. I must say.
Yes. And we saw the need, the request was made, and we're going to be putting in a facility there so that you know, a toilet facility. And of course, you do have a couple of fishermen that are plying their trade there. So attached to that, we'd be doing a fisherman's locker so that they would get an area so that they could store the engine. And we also would put in a space where they could be able to clean the fish. And then the minister also, the MP for the area, have also agreed to donate some storage capacity by way of a freezer or two so that they could store some of this fish. So we look at all these aspects. So that's one of the projects. It is currently in the bidding process. We have the Loreto toilet facility, a public facility close to the playing field, close to the school. We're going to be building a new facility there, putting in, of course, toilet and areas so you could bid and so. That project have gone through all the stages in terms of bidding. The tenders would have approved it, and we're looking to start by the middle of November. You have the waffling toilet, again, right in the heart of Grenville Town there. That project is a highly used facility, and we'll be doing some refurbishment and upgrade of that facility. And by the middle of November, again, we expect that project to roll out. Similarly, have Grand Roy toilet. By the middle of November, is expected to roll out. We also have the Closure Water Treatment Phase 2, which is being done in collaboration with Nawasa. And similarly, by the middle of November, we expect actual work to happen. And we also have a very interesting project in St. Patrick's, which is the upgrade of water storage facility in all 10 schools in St. Patrick's. You would recall a couple of years ago, they had a serious water shortage where the dam had collapsed and school could not have continued. And so we have been collaborating with the Ministry of Health and Nawasa on that project. And contract have been awarded. And again, by the middle of November, we expect actual implementation. As it relates to access and drainage, we have three projects in this area. We have the Quarry Road. Mm-hmm. A decision has been made in terms of award of contract. And that is now, we're just waiting on the final no objection from CDB to enter into contract. You have the Laura La Pastora Road.
Laura is in St. Paul's?
St. David's. Right, okay. Close to the Spice Gardens, Minor Spice Cooperative is operator. So that project, again, we have just gotten the tender report. The tenders board will now consider it. And we expect when they meet shortly, approval will be given. And within 2 or so weeks, we should be actually starting. You have Shantymel Retaining Wall in St. Patrick's. They have gone through the process, and we expect by the middle of November, this project would be started.
Okay, so it's quite a lot. I mean, when there are a number of things you said there. You wouldn't think that BNTF is so involved in doing all of these things, but these are all the projects that BNTF is doing at the moment.
Well, we do have haven't touched the education sector.
So there's one sector.
I've just spoken about the two sectors, but in terms of education and human resource development, as I mentioned before, we have some infrastructure projects and skills training. In terms of the infrastructure, I'll just say briefly, we have Parklet Government School doing a total refurbishment of these facilities there. That project is at the design stage. We expect by the end of November that we'll be able to have final designs. You have Bonnet Government School, replacement of the roof ceiling and some of the partition and rewiring and an extension for the IT room. That project contract award have been given, and we expect by the middle of November that one will be started. Montmorris Anglican School, we're doing an extension to that school there, and by the middle of November that also will be started. You have St. Dominic's preschool reconstruction. That preschool had been destroyed by fire a couple of years ago. We'll be doing a total rebuilding. That one is at the design stage. You have Victoria Resource Center and Daycare. You would recall that building right on the main road opposite Fletcher's Place. That is a building that is incomplete. We would complete it under BNTF. Contract have been awarded, and we're waiting on no objection from CDB currently. In terms of the other projects, you have St. Teresa's or Vincent's Preschool. That project will be rebuilt. What we have currently is a one-room ply building that is termite-ridden. We definitely have to have better conditions for children, and especially at this early formative years. So that building would be demolished and a new modern building would be provided. You also have the Guav daycare, which would be refurbished, and again we'd put an extension to that facility. You have the Telescope Resource Center in Telescope. That project is at the design stage. In fact, we're looking at quite a number of things to happen in that particular project, where it provides skills training, of course, a room for community-based activities, rooms, spaces for agro-processing and manufacturing. So it's a well-designed project, and we're excited about it. In fact, we have had meetings there with the community organization, the MP for the area, and a wider community meeting. And we're all excited about that particular project. And then we have the TAMCC Sustainability Practice Program. It is in the Maribo campus, where they're looking at an environment, modern environmental practices. And so we'll be working with TAMCC to implement that project, refurbish the buildings to be able to do these programs. So these are the infrastructure that we have under the BNTF program, some 22 or thereabout projects that, just at the point of either implementation or bidding process of complete and waiting on no objection. So we're happy at this point that we've been able to come this far. And definitely we expect at least 7 of them to start before the end of the year. And of course, as I've mentioned before, the terminal disbursement date is December 2016. So definitely you'd see a lot of activities happening in BNTF. And we could be able to, we have done it before, and we could roll out these projects.
Okay, well, I mean, very, very good. Very exciting, too. I, as a contractor, feeling good because this sort of work is coming. Yeah. Now, what we'll do, we'll take a word from our sponsors to come back. And I want to talk to Ms. Lindona Glasgow, who deal with training and development. And so we'll talk to her. Now, we heard about the projects. We want to hear, well, when they finish the projects, what happened and how they're getting things done to ensure that these projects are successful. So Ms. Lindona Glasgow, who's a training officer, will be talking to us about that. Take a word from our sponsors. We come right back. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose: the channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision: building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission: goal: empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Bagwan Isaac, who is the project manager of BNTF, and we have Ms. Lindona Glasgow, who deal with the training and development of the people who work and who want to be better. Now, Ms. Lindona, talk to us about what BNTF is doing when it comes to training. And what should we be looking for in the future from BNTF?
Okay. First, it is indeed a privilege to be here this morning to talk about the skills training component of the BNTF 7 and 8 program. In addition to training, as the community liaison officer, I also have responsibility for developing working with the communities to develop all of these projects, those that Mr. Bagwan has spoken about previously, as well as the skills training programs that I'm going to talk about. The skills training is at a very exciting phase, I must say that. The infrastructure is just about to kick off. The skills training has kicked off. So we're at a very interesting phase. And as Mr. Bagwan indicated, it was a long road to get here. We will be implementing 5 skills training programs, 5 organizations, partner organizations to implement skills training. And we will provide or support training for seafarers. That's the first one I'm going to speak about. Seafarers in...
That's boat people.
Boat people.
People on the sea.
Yes. So those who fish, those who dive, those who own boats, etc. And that training will be implemented in collaboration with GWAFO, that's the Grenada Federation of Agriculture and Fisheries Organization. So we are implementing that training in collaboration with that entity. And that training will be conducted in Trinidad, in an institution's training and development institute. That institution offers a certificate that is recognized by the International Maritime Organization. And it's in basic safety at sea, or we call it STCW. That's Standards of Training, Certification, and Watchkeeping for Seafarers. Now, it is very critical that we do this training. What we have recognized is that a lot of people apply in the sea, but do not have the necessary certification or the necessary skills for safety at sea. Approximately, or we will provide training for approximately 112 seafarers. And that's a lot. The seafarers have some requirements that they also need to meet, one of them being literacy. They also have to pass a medical exam. And once they meet those requirements, then they can participate in the program. We are working with all the Fishermen Association, both on the mainland as well as Carriacou and Pietermaritzburg. We are also pleased to announce that the first batch of 14 persons have come training and have now received the certificate. Received, meaning it's at the office, so we should hand it over to them now. And I can tell you, Pastor Sanford, the seafarers were really, really excited, and the excitement is really, really high. Persons talk about so much things they did not know, although they have been on the sea for so many years. We also have a second batch completing training today. Okay. And a third batch taking off in 3 weeks' time.
That is here or in Trinidad?
In Trinidad.
So these are people who you flew to Trinidad?
Yes. We send them over to Trinidad.
And how long they are there for?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, okay. Yes. So they have 9 days of training. So they're there for 2 weeks, ankle assessment and so. Because the institution is very concerned about persons coming to do the training, that they can actually withstand the training. It's a very rigorous program. And so our seafarers have been doing very well in the training. So at the end of this year, we should have a number of persons already trained, and we will complete that program in June of next year. We also have the training in collaboration with the Ministry of Youth, and that would be at the prison. That program is called the REACH program, and it was launched about 2 weeks ago and has started at the prisons. We are working with young men who are soon to be released to provide them with skills. And I'm talking here about both hard and soft skills. Hard skills in the area of crop production, distillation, and small engine repair. What it means is that these young men come out of prison. They will be employable, of course. But if they do not get employment with they can now work for themselves, be self-employed. And what cycle of this training? I think in 2013, and they recognize that the amount of persons returning to prison dropped significantly, those who participated in this program. So we have beefed up the program a little bit, in that we're providing not just support for the training alone, but also for case management for those who will work with them once they are released from prison. So we expect great success from this program as well. Then we have the Ministry of Social Development, which also launched a program just about a week ago, Vulnerable Women, and we are supporting that training. We expect about 60 women, and they will be trained in crop production, agro-processing, food and beverage, and those areas we know women can do well in those areas. The training is provided to enable them and facilitate self-employment. So we're hoping that people would not just have to depend on the business community or the government to provide employment, but we're trying to create a force that can become self-employed as well. So, and all of this training have both a life skills component as well as skills component. Mm-hmm. So, and it's important, especially the life skills. That's mandatory,
right?
We want people to be able to work with their customers, ensure that they can do their basic business management, etc., and can get along well in the workplace if they're employed with someone else. I should also say that those training, before I go on to the last two, are all certified by the NTA, except the one that is done in Trinidad, which receives international certification. And we keep our eyes on what is happening in CARICOM as well. And you know, this is going to be a concern for CDB. Mm-hmm. So we want to ensure that people have the best opportunities to move and to get employment. Then we also have the St. Andrew's Development Organization. We're partnering with them to do training for people residing in Marquee and surrounding areas. Oh. And as you know, Marquee is on the sea coast. It's a vulnerable community. We know the poverty levels there. It's pretty high. And so we want to support that community to provide or facilitate persons achieving or acquiring skills so that they can also be employable. So in Marquee, we already know it's very dominant there. And we want to support what already exists, what people have interest in. And we are providing training for the straw craft producers there so that they can enhance their skill. They can produce a better product for the market. And not just to target the tourists, but also to target locals, because straw product, it's very attractive and it's very practical, you know, for use. You know, the plastic mats that we buy, for example, they go one day, you know, get torn up, all of that. But I have some straw mats at home that has been there for many, many years, and it's still very good. Yes. Yeah. So we're providing that support. In fact, we should be having a very skilled, highly skilled straw producer coming in from the Bahamas to assist the people in Marquee. So we're expecting very good results from that. What we do know is that more women will participate in the straw craft training.
Than men.
Mm-hmm. So what we've decided to do is to create a gender balance. So we're also going to be doing training in another area that is very dominant in Marquee, and that is to support the fishing industry, small engine repair. We expect more men to be in that training.
Than women.
Yes, is that we've heard a lot of the seafarers saying that they're not able, when their engines break down, they're out of business for a while. So that training we know is going to be very important for that industry. And so we are supporting approximately 25 men and women to do the small engine repair. Of course, we want some women in. And we're also looking at having some men do the straw craft training.
So that is expecting to start when?
Actually, recruitment is more or less coming. Once they get that venue, which I expect by next week, we should be off the ground. Well,
somebody should give that downstairs or give their home or something in the market
to do that. Yes.
So those ones are big houses in Marquee and you're doing much with it. I'm inviting you to call BNTF and give them a room. Because you pretty much just need a room, about 20 feet by 20 feet in terms of doing the training?
Yes.
All right, or downstairs somebody may have that is open.
Yes.
And you'll be able to fix them and use it. So Marquee folks, you're here, we're looking for a place. BNTF looking for a place to do some training.
All right. And the last one we have is the Grand Coda training. We're also pleased to announce that today, after we leave here at 1 o'clock, we're going up to the launch. So that training should be off next week as well. And Grand Coda will train 50 persons from St. Patrick's, St. Mark's, and St. John. And Mr. Bagwan already explained the reason why we're really targeting those communities. And interestingly, Grand Coda will train more men than women.
They're trying to find a gender balance. I know.
Right? What we want to see is some more of the young men coming off the block and getting into training and employment and so. So they're going to train 30 men and 20 women. Yes. And again, in areas that people can easily become self-employed, electrical installation, domestic housekeeping services. We have new hotels coming on stream, so we're definitely training people, preparing people to take up jobs in those areas, livestock rearing, plumbing. So the areas.
So it's quite a lot. You believe it or not, you spoke for almost 10 minutes and you realize that. You didn't know that. But it's quite a lot because I think BNTF have a lot happening. Now, Mr. Bhagwan, we have to conclude. So there may be a few things you need. You have 2 minutes to tell us some of the things that we need to know when it comes to BNTF and where we are.
Well, BNTF, as mentioned before, is a poverty reduction program. I must indicate that we had some challenges initially with the BNTF program. We have gone over this whole bank and we have a smooth flow in it towards implementation. The bank already signaled that the BNTF 9 program, they want to discuss resources for the BNTF 9 program. So for those communities who have missed the opportunity, a new opportunity will be provided where we'll be looking at a new batch of projects. So persons should be excited that and start getting the project, we'd be able to include them. So BNTF, I would say that we've doing quite well. We have been doing a number of programs. We have been doing a number of outreach, and people have seen the value of the program and are participating in the program. And, of course, I must commend my own staff for the initiative, for the support, and, of course, the government of Grenada, because the government do have to provide counterpart funds, and they have been meeting that mandate and having regular dialogue to make sure that, you know, any bottlenecks or any hiccups is being sorted out so that we'll be able to implement the program as fast as we get things approved and rolling out.
So, BNTF is doing well.
Certainly.
And that's a good thing. You don't often find that. Years ago, you had your struggles. Now, BNTF, we can say very clearly, is back.
Certainly.
Very good. And the communities across Grenada and the contractors, because it also seems that in the new year, you're going to have a lot of projects available. Therefore, contractors and a lot of persons unemployed would also get in.
Exactly. So because you also have quite a number of persons would be employed on these projects, albeit maybe temporary employment, but at least it represents an opportunity for a lot of persons in the construction industry, the building suppliers and so to be able to generate some funds because of the programs that we'll be doing. So, yes.
I'm excited. I mean, just talking to you here today, I'm excited as a contractor, and I'm sure there are other contractors who are listening and saying, boy, it's good. Just quickly, the bidding process has always been a challenge. You all are doing some work that a smaller contractor can also benefit.
Yes. We intend to do is to do a training for our small contractors, because sometimes these bidding documents, especially for the smaller contractors who do not understand it, they could, you know, not want to participate. So we want to do a training, and we've already got commitment from some of the consultants locally to be able to run a workshop so that we could meet with all the small contractors, not only for BNTF, but throughout Grenada. These are what the bidding documents require, because you do have, you know, bidding documents that are in, they become rejected. Sometimes the guys forget to sign the document. Sometimes they leave out a whole section. Sometimes they do not put in certain requirements like a bid security and all a number of things like that. And not only that too, we have to be able to let them know how the process runs, because you already hear in persons would say, well, they don't know who they're giving the job already, or it's favoritism and this kind of things. The process is a very open bidding process. There's an invitation to bid, is some description of the project. The persons are required to purchase a document. We meet with them when they purchase the document and go through all the technical drawings, give them the deadline in which to submit the document, and of course the consultant will evaluate and it goes back to the tenders board for approval. So contractors need to understand these processes and what is involved so that they could participate, and we want them to participate because we know quite a lot of our local contractors are indeed quite capable. But because of the size of the bidding document, they tend not to participate and feel put off.
It's too much. Yeah. All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much today. I've been speaking today with BNTF unit, Mr. Isaac Bhagwan, who is the project manager of BNTF, and Ms. Lindona Glasgow, who is the community liaison officer. We have been talking a lot about the projects, what is happening in BNTF, and very important, I think, if you look at the training part of it, the component, our understanding of themselves and giving them skill, even from the prison point of view. And Marquee, you're working with the people there, and you're looking for a place. Again, I'm saying to the people in Marquee, please, those who are big houses and all this, you know, you're doing much with your house, give it to the community a little bit for a couple of hours, a couple of days, so at least they can get the training done. Thank you very much for being here with us today. I appreciate your coming and being here on Inside Finance.
Pleasure is
ours. All right, I'm Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining us here. You can go to our website, sgbcgrenada.com. The program will be uploaded there. And also you can share it on Facebook so others can listen to it. But I think it's a very, very good program. My special thanks again to Mr. Isaac Bagwan and to Miss Lynn Donna Glasgow. Have a great week. Join us here next week at the same time where we do this all over again, right here on Inside Finance.
The St. George's Baptist Church invites everyone to its Gala Dinner Awards and Book Launch as we celebrate 40 years of serving and empowering on Saturday, 7th November, 6:30 p.m. at the Grenada Trade Center. Tickets only $100. Join us for an evening of reflection with special remarks by Reverend Neville Callum, General Secretary of Baptist World Alliance, Dr. Carter and Charlotte Davis, former missionaries. Witness the launch of Reverend Stevenson Worm's book on the history of the St. George's Baptist Church. Come and be edified on the work of the Baptist Mission in Grenada as we celebrate 40 years of serving and empowering. Saturday, 7th November at 6:30 p.m. For tickets, contact 440-6325 or 409-1533. Sponsored by St. George's Baptist Church and Allen Associates and Country Cold Store.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.